So we, some weeks back, we started a series on Wednesday nights called Doubt, the Thief of God's Greater Blessings. We've been talking about doubt and what that effect can have on us. Let's look on your sheet there in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 53, it says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house.' Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." He couldn't do anything mighty or anything, any great works there because of their unbelief. So doubt, unbelief, not believing the promises of God, backing away from the promises of God. In this case, Jesus himself could not do anything there. You guys believe that? People say, "Well, Jesus, God could do anything." No, he can't. Because if he could do anything, why don't he just get everybody, just make everybody bow their knee, get saved, let's just go right into heaven, let's be done with it, right? And so many times we're saying, "God, move in my situation." People will say, "God, you know what I need, help me, help me, help me," as if God is withholding. See, that's the wrong premise to begin with. You believe that God is good. Do we?
Yes.
Then when we say, well, it carries this insinuation that somehow God is not doing what he could do. That he is standing next to you. Like he's in the same room. Let's say there was somebody else in the same room with you, and you're crying out for help, and they have the power to help you, but they're just sitting there with their hands folded and looking at you and going, "Poor soul." And you're saying, "Help me. I need help." And you're just sitting there, you know, somebody, "Well, no, I'm not going to help you." And that's the way people won't admit it, but that's what they think God is doing. Because if people will not say it this way. Not say that, "Well, do you believe God's holding out on you?" Well, some people may think that, and they'll think it's because, "Well, God's just holding out to let me learn some things, and he's not going to come in." You know, God, things that we see in human beings that we like or don't like, God is a person. And things that we would like or not like in a person, where did you get that from? Why do we think certain things are desirable and certain things aren't? And then we look at God and act like God would do things that we wouldn't like if a person did it. And he doesn't do things that we like. In other words, if you knew God personally on this earth if you walked as a human, you wouldn't like him the way some people describe him. The way some people describe him, he's a jerk. Or he's just inconsiderate or doesn't care. Because, you know, you need help, and don't he know, you know, he has all the power to help you, but he won't help you. He's aloof or preoccupied or doesn't care or something, right? Because after all, you're saying, "I need help," and he's not doing it, so the problem's on his end, is what the insinuation is. And somehow he is not doing his part. You know, people wouldn't. Maybe some people would say that, but a lot of people are like, "Well, I'm not saying that." But what are we saying when we say, "God, I'm asking you, show me," or "I'm asking you, help me," or you know, "Do this," or "I need this, you know, I need it"? Why isn't it happening? As if God is right there and is withholding. And if we keep that mentality, and that's common in the church world, so it's real easy to pick up. It's real easy to pick up that it's something else. It's somebody else's fault, and that includes God. And when we have that mentality, then if something doesn't happen the way we believe it ought to, people can get mad. and they can start getting mad at the people around us, around them. They get mad at a preacher, because after all, you told me something and it's not working the way I believe, the way I understand what you were saying, and it's not working, so it's your fault. But you know who they're really mad at? God. Because God did not help me. God did not do what I believe He should do. He let me down. He hung me out to dry. I believed, but I didn't get the result. I did exactly what the Word said. So what does that mean? That God failed. Because if you, what is that? If you say that, or if that thought comes to your head, or we act like that, I did exactly what I was supposed to do, and stuff didn't happen the way I thought it should. Therefore, not my fault. Well, whose fault is it then? Now, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody, but I'm saying if we don't uncover that mentality, we can't go forward, because it couldn't be anything I did. So it's God's fault. But if you really think about that, if it's God's fault and He did not do what He's supposed to do, we have a whole lot of other problems. Who's to say you're saved? Because after all, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. But what if He doesn't? What if He's out that day? What if that's one of those days He's just not feeling too personable? It's like, you know, hold all calls, I'm going out. And you call on the name of the Lord, but He's not answering. So therefore, you know, that request came in the mail door and just fell down and you weren't saved. Well, but that's what He said would happen. But, you know, sometimes He just doesn't do what He says. You don't know when that's going to happen. Is that what we believe? Just never know with God. Well, let me ask you this. If you knew somebody and you just never know what they're going to do, they tell you something, but you pretty much know it's a 25% chance that's going to happen. Right? If you knew somebody like that, or you know, maybe it's an 8% chance, then if they say something, you're like, well, I'll believe it when I see it, right? Because I don't really think that's going to happen. Why? Because I've seen it not happen over and over. If you knew somebody like that in the natural, you probably wouldn't be like recommending them to other people. Like, let's say they were a business person. And, you know, they show up on time for appointments, you know, one out of every 25 times. Is that somebody that, and then, you know, they do a good job, you know, a third of the time. Is that somebody you're going to recommend to somebody else? But with the Lord, there's a lot of people that think, you know, God, it's kind of like roulette. I may get it, you know, it just depends. It just, there's a chance, but I'm going to throw my prayer up there and we'll see if it sticks. And if it didn't, if I didn't get it, well, that's my answer. God didn't want me to have it. So whatever happens then is the will of God. That's where you end up. Right? You follow? If I pray and I believe it's all number one up to God, so whatever happens then must be His will. I prayed. Something bad happened anyway. God didn't answer it. So I guess that was His will that I didn't get that. Millions of people believe this. They believe whatever happens is the will of God. Well, that means God is responsible for all kinds of destruction, chaos, murder. When you see somebody, you know, murdered in the paper, that's God's will. That's absolutely not true. That's not true. But then is it true that, well, I prayed and it didn't happen, so that was God's will? Really? Is that what we believe? Is that what the Bible teaches? Whatever, see, that becomes nothing could ever be my fault. That's what you can call a no-fault religion. So whatever happens, whatever doesn't happen, it's not my fault. So if something happens, well, good. If it doesn't happen, not my fault. Something happened in my life, bad. Well, it's not my fault. It just happened. So people push it up to God and say, well, it's Him. I tried. I threw the prayer up. Not my fault it didn't stick. He just wasn't in a good mood today. It just wasn't answered. So not my fault. But I have this problem. Don't know what to do about it. So a lot of people just resign and say, oh, I guess this is the way it is. I guess this is just my cross to bear. I guess I'll just, You know, this is how I go through life. For whatever reason, I'm not on God's good side. Now, I can see other people he likes. I guess he likes him. I guess he likes her. Maybe we wouldn't maybe say he doesn't like me, but we're thinking, I don't know why that didn't happen. But it's not my fault. Now, some people will take this the wrong way, and they'll just think everything, they'll beat themselves up. And they've gotten so legalistic about things, they think everything, they can't blink their eyes without doing it the exact right way, or else they're out of line, and they have to watch every little word that comes out of their mouth. Yes, it's good to watch what you say in your confession, but don't get legalistic about it. The Bible says what you say and believe in your heart, that's going to come to pass. Thank God not everything that came out of your mouth or my mouth came to pass. Right? There'd be a whole lot of mess, you know, if everything we said sometimes. And so, yes, you should watch your mouth, but you don't need confession police either, people that just, every little thing. And so people get so legalistic then about stuff that then, if you get into that, then it's, people want to run out of that and say, I don't want to have anything to do with any of that, and it's not my fault, and they don't want to hear anything could possibly be related to what we're doing. Well, that's wrong too. Not everything is up to you, but not everything's up to God either. And if we go over to where everything's up to you, well, you can't bear that cross. Jesus did. It's not all up to you. It's up to us to cooperate with Him and let Him do His part. But then again, it's not all up to God. And like we said, and I've used this many times, but it's so clear. If everything's up to God, then what's God's will for humanity? Good. It's God's will that everybody be saved, know Him, would be in good marriages, would have good children that are behaving and walking with God. They would have perfectly healthy bodies, have complete abundance in their finances. Well, why isn't that so? Just the way God wills it. No, that's not true. People make decisions, right? Right? We all have decisions to make. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do it all yourself, but we have decisions that we make. And our where we are now is the sum of our decisions. I know some people don't like that. They don't want to hear that because that means I had something to do with getting right here instead of that God just transported me here. But if we don't believe that, now you can take that and beat yourself up and people will go off and say, I know I messed up, but I can't do anything about it. I'm here. Well, if we think that way, we will stay right where we are. Because we won't think we can do anything to move on. But if we'll say, you know what, Lord? You're a good God. And I want to know the way you operate. I want to know the way you do things. And there are things that I don't know and that I'm coming up with, but I will commit this, that what I do know and what I see, I will act on it. And as I act on your word, as you act on the Word of God, He will give you more light, more direction, and you can act on that, and we can just keep going up and up. The Bible says you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. You will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. And so, I wasn't planning to go quite there. Let me see if I can find that real quick. James 1:13 says, let no one say, first of all, go back to verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one when he is tempted, or he is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So notice that. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Or, God is trying to show me, He's testing me. God will test you, but he won't tempt you with evil. In other words, he'll allow you, when we've talked about this before, if you're going to be strong in certain things, you got to test your strength. Everybody ever lifted weights or done anything like that? You know, how are you going to know whether you can lift a weight? Well, you got to lift it. Well, you know what? If you can't lift 100 pounds, I wouldn't try 200 pounds. You know, you're under the bench, you're on the bench there, ready to do a bench press, and you have some spotters there, and you're right at 100 pounds. You've done before that, but you say, hey, boys, put on 200. Let's go for it. And, you know, they lift that thing off that bar. You know where that thing's going to go when they let go? Bam! That's not going to be pretty. That's not the way you want to find out if you can bench press 200 pounds. You may want to try like 195 before you go to 200, or at least 190. But you know, God's no different. He's not going to throw you in the ring and say, see if you can take this guy out. You know, see if you can take this challenge in life without you seeing that you can take more. Now, he's not going to test you. He's not going to tempt you with evil, but he's going to let you be tested. There's a difference. He's not bringing the challenge, but he'll let the challenge happen, but only when you know you can overcome. He'll never let you be tempted, we'll read that in a minute, beyond what you can bear. You guys believe that or not? We'll read that in a minute. This is all related. We're talking about doubt. This is in context. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Now listen. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I'm going to read that again. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So verse 16 says, do not be deceived, my brethren. I have some people been deceived into believing that God's the author of some bad things. Or God's allowing certain things that will remain in their life, and it's from God. It's a gift of God. This sickness is a gift from God. It just said every good gift and every perfect gift is from where?
Above.
The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes. They're not in 10:10. The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. If you just get that settled, God brings good, the devil brings bad. That he's on my side, that he's not going to tempt me, that if I have a challenge in life, that God is at my back helping me. He is there to help me out of it. He's not saying, well, let's see what you do, and backing off. His help is there, but we have to act on it. We have to act on what we believe in the Word. You can't just say, God, help me, and just sit there. Well, God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to show up. Now, ask yourself, if he's going to show up in your situation with you doing nothing, then he is the same. Didn't verse 17 says, there is no variation and no shadow of turning. That means he doesn't change. So if he's just going to show up in your situation with you doing nothing and not giving him an avenue to show up and not giving him a legal right to come into your life, he has to do that for everybody. Do you know he loves everybody the same? Jesus died for the whole world. But they have to receive it, right? You have to take what he already provided. But God's grace is to everyone. Well, it's the same thing with everything else. His grace and his help is the same for every person in every situation. But we have to reach out and say, that's mine. That, I believe that. God, you are working here. I believe you want me to come through this. I believe your will for me is strength and health and life and abundance. And I believe that right now, whether it looks like it or not. I trust you, and I just thank you that you are moving. Well, what does that do? That gives him an avenue to do that. What if you just sat there and go, I really wish you'd show up. Why won't you show up? There's a lot of people all over. Do you know how many people have been offended at God because they prayed a prayer when they were a child or something, and some loved one or something, somebody was hurting or maybe on their deathbed or something, they said, God save them, God help them, and nothing happened, and they thought, God did not answer my prayer, therefore I don't want to have anything to do with God. And to this day, decades later, they don't want anything to do with God because they believe that God didn't answer their prayer in their understanding. But it had nothing to do, it could not be that their understanding of the situation was incorrect. They believe that if they asked and did something, that God automatically had to do it the way they think, and that their understanding was absolutely correct, and that God should have done this, and therefore God was wrong, and I don't want to deal with God. Right? Anybody ever heard anybody being offended? God didn't answer my prayer. I don't believe in God. God, if there was a God, he should have saved my mom. He should have saved my child. I called out to him. Nothing happened. Therefore, I don't want to have anything to do with God. What is that? That's arrogance and pride saying, God messed up. I was right. I did it. I asked, and he did not show up. That's pride. That's saying, I know. I know everything about the situation. I know exactly what happened, and I know for a fact God messed up here, and I am right. Therefore, I don't want to have anything to do with God. There is no God. That's a tactic of the enemy. And that millions of people have fallen in that same trap. But that's why in verse 16 it says, do not be deceived, my brethren. My beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That means what he was yesterday, he's going to be today, he will be tomorrow. He doesn't change, he doesn't vary, he doesn't favor one person over another. He doesn't do that. He's the same. So what he'll do for one person, he'll do for another. What's the variation? It's what they believe and what they pull on him, what he's provided. That's the variation. That's the difference. It's not that he picks one person and says, I'm going to do something for you and you only. It's that people give him a legal right to do certain things for him, and he can act in this realm. Look over at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In the margin of my Bible, it says to endure it. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. That's another thing. People will say, my situation is different. You don't understand what I'm going through. How do you know? How do you know nobody understands what you're going through? You realize that people all over the world are going through similar situations, but you know what the devil will tell you? Yours is unique. And it is really bad. And nobody can go through this situation. And you, number one, he'll do several tactics. You're not going to make it because you just can't make it through something like this. Or yours is worse than anybody. And boy, this is just so hard. And look at what, you know, he'll twist it any way he can to try to make it seem like yours is different. And nobody could understand exactly what you're going through. You know what that'll make you think? You can't get help from anywhere. Because after all, your situation is unique. And the Holy Spirit is stumped on this one. He doesn't have a clue either, so there's no use going to the Lord. And no man could have any clue what you're going through, because after all, your situation is unique. Nobody would understand, therefore, nobody could have anything to say to you that would help you. Those are lies. Both. Number one, our challenges are common. I'm not saying everybody has the exact same challenge, but you know what? They come down to things with the 7+ billion people on the face of the earth and all those that have lived prior. People have gone through very similar things to what you and I face. Now, our pride doesn't like to hear that. We like to more hear, yes, baby, your situation is absolutely unique and you're just doing a good job bearing up. You just keep going, but nobody could understand it. So don't let anybody try to encourage you or tell you, because they probably never experienced anywhere near what you've experienced. The devil will whisper stuff like that. It's so hard. I'm not making light of it. I know we face challenges, but to think there's no help for me because this is unique is a lie. It corners me. It makes me think, and the devil loves darkness. And so he loves to tell you there's no hope. This is so bad. There's no way you can get out of this. There's no way you're going to live normally and just feel. And he'll try to just muddy up the waters so that you can't see, when in fact your situation can be overcome and God already has a way to get you right out of this situation. And in a month's time or 3 months' time or a year, you won't even, it'll be a distant memory. It'll be like, well, I can't believe that happened. I remember it. I know I was there, but my life is so different, I can't hardly relate to it. I know I've gone through certain things. I'm not going to relate certain things now, but there was times when, you're like, man, I'm in the middle of this. I don't see how to get out. But as I looked to the Lord, He showed me how to get out. And those things are past. Things that you deal with in a consistent basis, but they're not there. They're gone. The devil will try to tell you, you're not getting out. It's not going to ever be normal for you. You just have to live with this. And it's not true. I said it's not true. It's a lie. There is no end with God that says, well, I just can't fix this. This is beyond my ability. Sorry, I can't do anything. You're just going to have to live out your days on earth with this, and then, you know, we'll fix it when we get to heaven. You'll have some other situation. But I'm sorry. This is above my ability, my skill level. That's silly, right? God can do anything except what He's limited Himself by His Word. But anything He said He can do, all things are possible to him who believes. Believes what? Believes God. Believes that He is what He said He is. Believes that He can handle any situation. That if there's something that comes against us, that He can take us right through and put us on top of that thing to where we can not only come out of it, but we can tell other people and be a glorify God through it and be an example and help other people. So now what the devil came and tried to squash you with, not only are you going to come out yourself, but you're going to rub his nose in it and help other people to get up. Amen. You believe it?
Yes.
So no temptation has overtaken you except that is such as common to man, but God is faithful. How many of you believe God's faithful? He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. You're not the one He's going to break down on and say, "Yo, I'm not going to help." No, He is faithful. He never, never, ever, 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 ever has failed anybody. Ever. Ever. Not once. Not a single time. He does what he says he's going to do every time. He doesn't have 99.999% uptime. 100. Perfect. Never has failed yet. Never will fail. Ever. His word never fails. He's faithful. If he said it, he'll do it. And then he'll do it the next time. And then he'll do it the next time. And then talk about repeatability. If God said it, he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for anyone who will believe him. That's the qualifier. We just have to act on what he said. Now, if you say, I don't believe him, well, you know what? He can't help us then. And people go to hell over not believing him. Did God send them there? No, they won't. They won't yield. They won't bend their knee. In our own life, then, as we walk through challenges, if we'll know that he's faithful, he is a good God, that every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, that no matter what it looks like, he wants me past this. He sees me past it. He sees this thing in the rearview mirror. As far as God sees, if you looked at it the way God sees, this is in your rearview mirror, you're going past this, you're coming out, you're going over, that's going to be a distant memory. If we start to look at it like that and say, I'm coming over it, I'm coming through it, God, you're helping me now. Well, it doesn't look like it, but you're helping me now. You're helping me now. I see it. I believe it because you said it and you're faithful. That means you're not going to fail. That means I am coming through because I am going to hold on to you. We'll get through. We'll get through every time. He said, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He said, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. So next time you hear, you're not going to make it. There's nobody that could go through this. You know that's a lie. Why? God said he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. What does that mean? We're able. That means we're able. Everybody say, I'm able. Now. Now. I'm able. Say, I'm able. To come through. To come over this situation that I'm dealing with right now. I'm able. I'm able. I can come through. I'll be on the other side. Happy. Whole. Healed. Victorious. Full. Strong. You believe that? I'm coming through. Say, I'm coming through. Say, God won't allow me to be tempted beyond what I can bear, beyond what I'm able. Therefore, I'm able now. Do you guys believe that? That'll put a spring in your step. What does that mean? In spite of the fact, in the midst of something, in the midst of going through a trial, that we can have joy and be victorious in the middle. You say, well, it doesn't look like it yet, but that's all right because I'm coming through. We get that attitude. We're in the middle of the game. Looks like we're down, but I'm going to win this thing. You watch. There's a gleam in your eyes saying, you see that scoreboard? It will change because I'm coming over. I'm going to win. Why? Because God's not going to allow me to be falling down here. This thing that's pushing against me, it will not take me out. Because I have God's word on it. It may try to push like it's going to take me out. It may feel like it's going to take me out. But God said he won't allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able. Therefore, I'm able. Therefore, I'm coming out. Anything. That means anything that's thrown at me, I'm automatically able to defeat it. That means the level that you're at, anything that comes against you, you already know that I have what it takes to defeat it. Do you know what that means? Nothing that comes against you in this life is meant to take you out. The devil might mean to take you out, but God has said it won't take you out. Now, how do you keep it from taking you out? You have to believe that it's not going to take you out. If you start saying, this is it, this is going to take me out, there is no way I'm coming through. Well, you're going down. And don't think that it's just automatically going to happen, because people do that every day. They say, oh, this is going to take me out. This is the end. And guess what? It's the end. What's the difference? We have to believe what he said. But if we believe what he said, there's nothing that can take us out, because he said, I said, nothing will be, you won't have anything come at you that's more than you can bear. So when it looks like it's pushing down on us and looks like we can't bear it, what do we need to do? We need to agree with God and start saying, it's not going to take me out. I'm coming over this thing. And just doing that will gird you up. You're feeling strong right now. You're feeling strengthened right now. It's talking about, you're saying, yeah, that's right. You need to agree with that and say, that's right. I'm coming through this. I'm coming over. I agree with God. Either you believe this or you don't. What we just read, either if you believe it, you'll act like it's true, and you won't act like this thing is going to crush you. You'll say, I might feel crushed, but it's not going to kill me. Why? Because God said it won't. God said there's nothing that comes against me that's strong enough to take me out. And this thing is included in that statement. There is no temptation. That includes whatever is being thrown at me right now. And that temptation is not going to take me out. If I believe God, if I count Him faithful and say, God, you're faithful in this situation. In this one right now, this is included in your 100% uptime. And if I call on the service agreement and say, God, I believe what you said, you're going to come through. He's going to come through. He will come through. Every time. What does this have to do with unbelief and doubt? Everything. Because what happens when you are doubting is you don't think it looks like he's going to come through, and you start doubting that it's going to look right. That's your faith dropping. That's you giving in to doubt and unbelief. And that's where victories are either taken, they're won or lost. Battles are won or lost right there, because you know, if everything always looked like you were going to make it, there wouldn't be any problem. If it always looked good, like you were going to come through, then everybody would be like, yeah, I'm going to come through. And it still looks like, I mean, I'm up by 70 points. I'm still up by 70 points. Why should I worry? It's when it looks like you're down and there's no way you're coming back. That's when you're tempted to say, I wonder if the Bible's true. I wonder if God's going to come through for me this time. And you ever notice the devil will tell you this no matter how many times you've come through? Anybody found that out yet? Doesn't matter how many times you've won and God has put you over, this is the time the devil will tell you, this is the time I'm taking you out. All that other stuff, that was just to set you up so that your fall is going to be super hard now, because it just built you up enough, but now you're going down. God will not come through. Has anybody ever heard that besides me? He will always tell you this time you're not going to make it. What is that when you give into that? Doubt. You're going real good. You're going real well. And then it starts looking like it's not going to happen. You have a choice. Do you believe God? And just like you did when it looked well, like it was going good, and you believe God's word in spite of what it looks like? Or do you start saying, well, it doesn't look like it's going to go well, so I guess it's not going to go well. What does that mean? God's not faithful. God allowed you to be tempted beyond what you could bear. God is not the author of good. God, the good and perfect gift, it's not coming from God. He's not able to take you, care of you right now. When is the time you really have to kick in here? When it doesn't look good? When it doesn't look right? When what you're going through does not line up with the Word of God? That's when you have to say, I believe it anyway. Guess what that is? That's faith. That's not doubt and unbelief. This is the crux of so many things right here. Amen.